He said, well, sure, dear, I can do that. And she said, why don't you mute Russ's guitar? I think that's the problem. You get it? Let's just do that. So she says, why don't you write this down so you don't forget? He said, honey, I can remember a scoop of ice cream. I don't need to write this down. He goes, okay. So he starts to walk into the kitchen, and she says, you know, honey, I'd like some strawberries on that ice cream. Would you mind putting some strawberries on that ice cream? And he said, yeah, honey, I can do that. She says, you sure you don't want to write this down? He said, no, I got it. So he goes into the kitchen, and she calls out to him, and she goes, hey, dear, can I get some whipped cream on top of the strawberries on top of the ice cream? He says, sure, I can do that. She said, are you sure you don't want to write this down? He said, no, I got it, no problem. So all the pots and pans and all this noise in the kitchen, about 15 minutes later, didn't sound like ice cream, but 15 minutes later, he comes out and he hands her these eggs and bacon. And she looks at him and says, where's the toast I asked for? So the reason I tell you that is, wait a second. Let's see here. I didn't write it down. Oh, well, last 4 weeks we've been talking about the abundant life. Remember, anybody got that verse memorized yet? I have come that they might have life and have it. Would you say that with Daniel? Put it up there. Is that verse in there? All right, here we go. Read it with me. I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. Say that again. I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. I don't care what version you memorize, but it's important that you memorize this verse because Jesus Christ came so that we could have an abundant life. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the picture, the word picture. We talked about a chocolate fountain. Then we talked about a fountain. And I kind of want to continue that. So we have this fountain. The first tier, can somebody help me? What was the first tier of the fountain? Anybody who was here? Who does God fill first? Us, remember? That's the top tier, the fountain. He fills us. And then what happens? We overflow, and it affects our family, right? And then we learned that the third tier of this is our community, right? And so if we were to add a fourth tier on this, where would you think we would go next? The world, exactly. So that's where we're going to head today. So I'm going to give you three important insights this morning about reaching our world. And so we want to have an understanding. First of all, God sends you. All right, and so there's an interesting verse in John chapter 17. It's a verse it gives you a little background. To give you a little background about this verse first, let me tell you that this was a chapter where Jesus was praying for his disciples. Jesus was praying for his disciples actively. He was praying that the whole chapter was devoted to this prayer. He was praying that the disciples who were with him while he was alive would be effective. And he was also praying for the disciples who were to come, which is you and me. So in this chapter of John, you see that Jesus Christ is actually praying for me. He's praying for you because we are called to be his disciples. And he's praying this in this chapter. He says to the Father, and he says this, he says, as you sent me into the world, this is verse 18, I have sent them into the world. Jesus Christ was sent here as the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. And as God sent him as the ultimate sacrifice, he is sending us to share that story with others. And so Jesus is saying in the same way that God sent him, we were sent. And if you're a Christian, as Brooke read, you are a new creature. You are a new creation. And in that new creation, you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. You become a minister of Jesus Christ. Your sins have been forgiven. You have a home in heaven. right? And you have a purpose for living. So many of us don't understand what our purpose is in life. You have a purpose for living, and that purpose is your relationship in Jesus Christ. You're important. You have been commissioned to serve God. How many of you have ever gone to a commissioning service of a missionary? So a commissioning service, basically what you're doing is you're being prayed. If you're the missionary, you're being prayed over, and then they send you out the door. And they send you out the door with prayer and sometimes money, sometimes food, whatever it is you need to make this mission happen. And so, in the same way, you're commissioned by God to go into the world. You're empowered by God just as Jesus was. God empowered Jesus. God commissioned Jesus as he commissions you, and he empowers you. And Jesus reached the entire world as you reached the entire world. You know that when I read the Great Commission, I get kind of overwhelmed. I see that and I think, okay, it's too big. It says, go into all the world to preach the gospel. I've been to probably 30 of the 50 United States, maybe a few more. And I've preached the gospel in all of those states. But I will tell you, when I think about the entire world, I think of every corner of the world, I think it's way too big for me to get there. It's too large. It's too huge. But look what Jesus says to his disciples in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He says to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And as you look at how big that is, and you look at how are we supposed to impact the entire world? How are you supposed to impact the entire world? Well, you do it the same way that you eat an elephant. Now, we don't eat elephants, but you do it one bite at a time. You've heard the proverbial thing, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I heard an old saying one time. I actually think I read it at a fortune cookie at Pine Garden. It said this. It said, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. It's pretty wise. You can't go 1,000 miles until you take that first step. And we are the same way in this world. Jesus touched the entire world so that we could take one step at a time. He touched the entire world by touching people. He touched you, you touched somebody else, and he listened to people. That's how he was able to touch people. Sometimes it just requires us listening. He helped them in times of crisis. He helped them, he touched them, he listened to them. And he served them. He did all those things. He gave a word of hope to those who viewed their lives as hopeless. And sometimes we have to do that. You know, he offered direction to those who were lost. I'm telling you, it's a great feeling to help somebody. You ever hear somebody at the store? This is my lot in life. I'll be driving my cart. I'll be pushing my cart through Freddy's, right? And I'll hear some lady say, I cannot find, you know, the paraffin wax. I'm looking all over for the paraffin wax. I can't find it. And what do? I stop. I help her look for the paraffin wax. I find it. I say, hey, there it is. Let me get it for you. And I grab it for her. I feel so good when I do that. Why? Because I'm giving direction to somebody who needed it. She didn't ask for it. She's just needing it. And sometimes people don't ask for it. They just need help. And so you need to be willing and ready and able to do that. I read somewhere a long time ago that Jesus never traveled more than 200 miles from where he was born. Now, I don't know if that's totally true, but I know that he went to Egypt, and when he was a baby. And I know he didn't travel very far from his hometown, but yet he was able to touch the entire world. I can't imagine staying within 200 miles from where I was born, because I was born in Albany, so that would mean like I would go like to Medford maybe, and then like to Vancouver, you know, maybe a little further north, I don't know, but I'd never get to Arizona, I'd never get to see the East Coast, or get to see, you know, California, I'd never get to see any of that stuff. I can't imagine staying within 200 miles, but if you imagine, if you just concentrated in that 200 mile radius of where you were born, what you could do. You can affect the people that go out. And it's just amazing. So God sends us out into the world. The world is also sent to us. We have two foreign exchange students at our house, a great mission field. They come from China, they come from Vietnam, they come from Japan. They come here because they want to see American way of life. We tell them the American way of life is we go to church every week. We give them we have a Christian lifestyle, so we impact their lives in a great way. As a missionary, we see that as a missionary opportunity. How many times do you see people from other parts of the world that you don't think it's a missionary opportunity? If somebody gets saved who lives in a country that they're not allowed to preach the gospel, they're going to go in there and figure out how to preach the gospel. It's amazing. God sends us to the world by sending the world to us. And those people we come in contact with, we touch them with love. And we touch them with listening. We touch them with a heart because God tells us to. So our second point is God sends you. The second one is God changes you. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And a new creation, it's amazing what a new creation does. Daniel, we're going to play a little video this morning. I always play a video because my sermons are short, so I want to make sure that you're still here the entire time. No, I really want you to see this. It's important. Listen carefully. Trevor, turn it up so we can hear it. See if it works. I hear it. Hit the little round play button. Gets me every time. Hang on one second. All right, so it was really good. I'll just tell you about it. So how many of you see Spider-Man? Spider-Man's a great movie, right? Not the second set, the first set. Tobey Maguire, right? So at the end of the second movie, Tobey Maguire is sitting in his apartment all by himself. He's got this dumpy little dive. He's looking out the window. And what's happening to Mary Jane? Does anybody remember? She's getting married. You saw the clip this morning. It worked this morning, I promise. She was getting married. She was going to the chapel. She's going to get married. She's getting ready to go down the aisle. All of a sudden, the music comes up. Mary Jane's a no-show. Here's the music. All right, so you can cut the music now. So Mary Jane's a no-show. What she ends up doing, she runs back to Peter Parker. Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Spider-Man's my hero. Why? He gets bit by a spider and changes his DNA, and he's able to climb walls, which is really cool. But that's not what exactly I want you to get out of this little message this morning, all right? Spider-Man was changed. His DNA was changed. He became something different. He was just a kid, and he was changed to save the world. Not biblical, but it works, all right? Mary Jane, she was on the path, and she was going to get married to this guy because he was rich. He was a military guy. He's well off, and she decides she's going to follow her heart and go after Spider-Man. And they get together in the end, and there's a kissing scene. And they're, what? That's probably why it didn't work. There was a kiss. And then he hears sirens, and she looks at him and says, what does she say? Go get him, Tiger. And it was the point where she recognized her life was going to be different because she was following a hero. So his life was different, her life was different, and she says, go get him, Tiger. And there are two lives that have been changed here. One, because of the spider and the DNA and all that garbage. But then you have this other life that's changed because she decides she's going to love the hero. And that's kind of what God wants for us in our life. He wants us to be changed to where we love the hero who is Jesus Christ. And And we'll see that the purpose, because there's a purpose for our love. And one is we're forgiven. I said this earlier. We're forgiven. And there's a place for us in heaven, remember? And then you have a purpose for living. You now have changed. So God has given you more purpose. You think you had one purpose. Some people they think, well, I was put on this earth to do this. And they find out later on that that's not what God wants them to do. And so God changes their life completely and they face a different direction. And they see that, hey, this is what God wants me to do. So God can change your purpose. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do. You know, it says in that verse, we are changed for a purpose. Can you tell me what it is by looking at that? To do good works. God did not save you to put you on a bookshelf. He did not save you to become some sort of trophy for him, or some knickknack, or the elf on the shelf, or whatever it is that God, you think maybe God did for you. He set you aside. He didn't set you aside to just sit there. He set you aside to change you, to empower you, to touch the world. And that's not all God has done. He empowers us. He changes us, and he empowers us. God empowers us to have an impact on the world. He empowers us to do these works. And Jesus called his disciples, what did he call them? He called them the salt of the earth, right? He says they are the salt of the earth. And it's found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, right? It says, you are the salt of the earth. Well, there are some things that salt does. Number one, salt melts ice. We use it on the East Coast. They mix it. They throw it on the road. Do they use salt up here? I got my very first car came from Pennsylvania, and so it was rusted from the bottom half down because they used salt to melt the ice in the road. They would throw salt on the road, it would turn it into water, and they can drive on it. So salt melts ice, and what that does is it helps us to get through the frozen fear of getting to know Christ. You think somebody's cold against Christ? If you're a disciple, your saltiness will soften their spirit. So salt melts the ice. It prepares the hearts for people to be changed. Number two, what does salt do? It preserves food. You can get pickling salt. We've done a lot of jarring and canning at our house in the last year. And if you do a dill pickle, you have to have some pickling salt. And you throw that in there and put it in what you call a brine. And I'm almost embarrassed that I know this, but you put it in a brine and it's all salty, and then you put that solution in there, and what it does is it preserves food. Back in the days when they didn't have refrigeration, they would pack their meat in what? Salt. Why? Because it preserves, right? It preserves food, and it also preserves the good news for Christ. There's a lot of bad news in this world. We need to savor the good news and share the good news. And so salt also makes people thirsty. Give them a little salt, they want to drink. They want to drink some more. And they will thirst for what you have in Jesus Christ. If you're flavored just right, you'll want to drink. They always pair drinks with food, right? Went to a pairing party with somebody, and they had certain desserts, and they would pair it with a certain blend of coffee. And it would make you want to drink this coffee if you ate this. I don't know. It works. So the salty thing works too. If you eat something salty, you need something to wash it down. So salt makes people thirsty. And if we have a thirst, we search for water. What did we say last week? That God says he's living water. So we know that people will search for Christ if we have this in our life. God loves us, and we love other people, and we'll make them thirsty. And then finally, salt enhances the flavor of food. We were at a wedding last night. We had potatoes, baked potatoes. You can't have a baked potato with salt and pepper without salt and pepper on it, unless you cover it with chili and a bunch of other stuff. But I just want salt and pepper and butter. Plain old American baked potato, right? And I had to ask for salt. So I said, can I have a little salt for my potato? And you know, That's true of you. We're like that baked potato, just white and pasty. I'm talking about myself now. White and pasty, but salt makes me flavorful. So the little salt of truth that I have in my life makes me not only palatable, it makes the message wonderful. And it's great, right? And so I love the fact that a little bit of salt enhances the flavor of food. My mom used to put salt on watermelon. She said, oh, it enhances the watermelon. I'm like, ew. I had another friend who put salt on apples. I said, why would you do such a thing? And then now they have a block of salt. You can actually cook your steak in the barbecue on a block of Himalayan salt. Why? Because it enhances the flavor of the steak. Man, some little things have great impact. Just a little bit of salt. Matthew 10:42. This is what he says. If anyone gives up even a cold cup of water to these little ones, he is my disciple, and I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. It is our job to quench the thirst of the lost world. We need to make them thirsty and then give them the living water. How do we make them thirsty? Chocolate, right? We're giving out candy next week. That's how we get kids in here and feed them with chocolate, right? We have fun. We have games. We entertain them a little bit. We talked about how worship should be somewhat entertaining because it holds their attention. So what we're doing is, and I don't mean entertaining as in, you know, jump around like a bunch of monkeys. I'm talking about it holds your attention. When something is entertaining, it holds our attention. So what we want to do is grab their attention, and we want to be able to hold it, and we have to do that with love. Small stuff matters. Politeness at the store matters. Politeness while you're getting gas matters. Listen, I've waited in Costco, in lines at Costco with people that have, the line goes way like 20 people back, and then somebody cut in front of me. Yeah, you know what I wanted to do? I didn't do it. But I have to overcome those things. And so I just have a conversation with people around me. I just figure that's God giving me more time to talk. I used to tell people, don't get in line behind me at the store, because if any check is not going to go through, it's going to be mine. If any card is going to get fouled up in the new chip reader, it's going to be mine. So don't be mad at me. I want to tell everybody behind me. I'm kind of kidding around about it. Because if I look at it in a lighthearted manner, and I look at it like it doesn't bother me, then they won't be bothered. And that's how we do with Christ. We present gospel like it matters to us, and we present gospel in a way that is fun and interesting, and we see how great God is, and they want to be a part of it. So it matters what you do at the grocery store in line. It matters holding a door for somebody at a restaurant. You know, I was going into a restaurant the other day. Dylan was following me. We were going to Elmer's to see the old ladies eat, right? So we went to, I'm just kidding. What do we call that? Everybody said the old ladies get together and eat, but I'm there and I'm not an old lady. You're going to hit me after I'm done today, I know. So I just go pushing in the door, and I turn around, and Dylan's nowhere to be found because he's holding the door for some lady at the restaurant. Oh, isn't that sweet? It ministers to people when you do the nicest little things like that. Sometimes we get so busy we forget to do those little things. How about tipping, even when the service isn't so great? How about smiling and talking to a complete stranger? You know, it's those things are the little pinches of salt that make our life palatable. Because here's the deal. Inevitably, the lady I get behind, I told you the story before, who drives like a moron, and I'm following her, and she ends up making me have to wait for a light. I catch up to her. I'm getting ready to give her what for. And then I realize, as we're getting closer and closer to the school where I drop my kids off, she's going to the same place I am. A church, a school, a Christian school. So here I am, Mr. Christian Pastor. You know, I don't wear the white collar, but I introduce myself as Pastor Dan all the time. And I go in there, and I didn't say anything, but I could have blown it really badly just by honking my horn. So be careful what you do. They might follow you into the church parking lot one day. You've been put on this earth for a purpose, and that purpose is to minister to those who people are around us. So that's why we're here. The world around us, most of us just rush through life. We fill up our schedules. I was telling Tom this morning, man, my schedule, every time I think I get it free, my wife fills it up. We end up doing more and more stuff. And I don't get my Saturdays anymore. I don't get my rest anymore. I don't know what to do. You know, we got so much going on. About the time I think I get a day off, we have more ministry stuff to do. And so I get so busy, I don't take time to make friends. I order my coffee sometimes on my app so I can just hop in and grab my coffee cup off the counter and run out. It's better for me to go in and order and talk and share and minister and make friends. And maybe, just maybe, one day they'll turn around and ask me, hey, what is it that you do? I see you studying all the time. What is it you do? What are you, a student? You're really old to be a student. And we have that conversation. You know, all you have to do is acknowledge people, and it will make a huge difference in their life. Think of it this way. God acknowledged you. He said, I love the world so much that I gave my only son that Dan could accept him and become a Christian forever. That's a paraphrase, right? So he did those things for me. He went out of his way for me, and I'm supposed to transfer that. Listen to God. He listened to you. Listen to what God is saying. He touched your life, and it's never been the same. Your sins have been what? Forgiven, right? You have a home where? Right. And you have a purpose for what? Right. You have a purpose for living. We have, everything we do has a purpose. And you know, there are things you can do without even going really that far out of your way. It's going to minister a lot to people. There's an opportunity, you know, we have the Halloween thing that we do, the Harvest Festival, call it whatever you want. It's basically just a time where we introduce the neighborhood to our church. But there are other things that we do. When you see somebody standing in a corner, be purposeful. Find a place online or go to McDonald's, and you can buy like a $5 gift card and just keep a bunch of $5 gift cards in your glove box, and then just hand them to people to buy them lunch. I would spend $5 on a stranger's lunch. You know, be purposeful. Every year we buy a box of hand warmers at Costco when they come out, so that we have hand warmers to give to these guys that are freezing. By January, they are just, you can just see it. They're just uncomfortable. I heard it the other day from a guy that was homeless. He said, I can handle being cold, and I can handle even being wet, but I can't handle being wet and cold at the same time all day long. I said, I get that. So how do we deal with that? So what are you doing? What's your purpose? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word this morning. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for this challenge this morning as we are challenged to go outside of ourselves and outside of our, even our community. We go out into the world, Father, that we would reach others for you. Father, as we touch somebody with a cup of water or a lunch, that they would be paying it forward and remember to touch somebody else. Father, right now the world is hungry. They're hungry for food, but they're also hungry for salvation. They don't even know it, but we meet that need, and then we can meet the need of the other. We thank you. Be with us during this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time is for you. If you'll stand together, we'll sing this song as we close the service out. If you want to come down, I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll show you how to become saved. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart, I'll show you how to do that. And once you accept Jesus Christ, it'll change your life forever. Amen? It'll change your life forever, and you'll never be the same, and you'll absolutely be different. Okay? So I'm gonna let you have this time to respond. If you want to just come and pray by yourself, you're welcome to do that, or just come and pray with me. I'll be glad to pray with you. All right. Let's sing.